Good morning and welcome to the program. It's good to have you along with us this morning. As we all know, from time to time in life, we could all use a little spiritual restoration. And in the lesson this morning, I'd like to talk about the fact that one must truly seek God in order to gain that spiritual restoration. Spiritual restoration is absolutely impossible without God, because it was God who blessed us and God who continues to bless us in the first place. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." And James chapter 1, verse 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." And 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Christ Jesus, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." You see that it's God that blesses us. And because God cares, He will continue to bless those who seek His ways. We read in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, where it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." And 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." What a huge benefit to becoming a servant of God. But we must be willing to give up this world. Romans chapter 12 at verse 1 beginning says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And Romans 6, verse 13, "And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." Now, if you will, take a moment and consider Psalm chapter 42, beginning with verse 1. Psalm 42, beginning with verse 1. It goes on to say, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, 'Where is your God?' When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls, and your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life." Notice here that seeking God takes a desire. The author's soul is panting for the Lord. The soul of the author thirsts for God. And we read in Matthew 5, 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Why would someone thirst for God? Well, it's because He provides the living water for which we thirst. In John chapter 4, verse 10, we read, "Jesus answered and said to her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked Him, and He would have given you living water.' And the woman said to Him, 'Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?' Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." One would seek God because he cares. And he will provide your needs. As we read in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you." So ask yourself, where does my thirst begin? Where does my thirst end? Does your hunger and thirst reside in the things of the world? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 says, "While we do not look at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but things which are not seen are eternal." And 1 John 2:16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of this world." Romans 8:6 says, "For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace." You see, it's impossible to serve both God and this world. We have got to make the choice to seek God. Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." We must desire God in order to be restored. We must seek God. And seeking God takes hope. There were researchers at Cornell University that studied 25,000 POWs from World War II, and they concluded that a person could handle almost anything if they believe that their best days are ahead. In other words, if they have hope. And God showed us why we can have hope through his love. In John 3:16, we read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And Romans chapter 5, at verse 6, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his love toward us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Hope is only found in Jesus Christ. So if we want hope, we must be in Jesus. Ephesians 2, verse 12 says, "That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world." And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 at verse 16, "Now may our Lord and Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope, by grace comfort our hearts and establish you in every good word and work." And 1 Timothy 1 verse 1 reads, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ our hope." You see, we must have hope in order to be restored. And seeking God takes prayer. Notice as we continue in Psalm chapter 42 that the author continues with a question to God, knowing the results of hoping and trusting in God. Psalm 42 at verse 9 reads, "I will say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go on mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? As with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, 'Where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God.'" Think even of David's battle with Goliath. Where was his trust? Where was his hope? It was in God. The importance of prayer for spiritual renewal is seen throughout the scriptures. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 at verse 17 tells us to pray without ceasing. And James 5:16, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Spiritual restoration is impossible without prayer. Also know that seeking God takes action. Knowledge of their Creator without any action is useless. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 says, "Then those who gladly received His word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." We've got to be willing to seek God. We've got to take action. Acts 17:27 says that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward Him and find Him. Yet He is actually not far from each one of us. Seeking God means feeling for Him. Imagine being in a dark room and trying to feel your way to the door. You really want to get out of that room. Perhaps the house is on fire and you have to get out to save your life. But you can't see anything. But you know what the things look like in the room and you can feel your way to the door to get out. Imagine feeling your way to God. Seeking God involves searching, and seeking the narrow way involves action. Matthew 7:14, "For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." And Hebrews 11:6, "And without faith it is impossible to please Him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him." Are we willing to seek God? Are we willing to serve God? Luke chapter 4, verse 8, "And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve.'" In our service to God, we must be willing to follow His commands. Deuteronomy 6 at verse 14 reads, "You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are around you, for the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth." If we seek God, we will need nothing else. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." If we want to be restored to God, we must seek God. And your spiritual renewal must come, like the author of Psalm 42, by looking to God. God knows you. God knows your ins and outs. Matthew 10:30 says, "But the very hairs of your head are numbered." Bring your burdens and your needs for renewal to God. Do you have burdens? Do you need a renewal? Do you need restored? Have you ever become a Christian? The Bible teaches in order to go to heaven, you must be a Christian. And in order to become a Christian, you must hear the Word of God, believe it to be true, change your life, repent of your sins, confess Jesus as Lord, and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins. You can then be called a child of God, you can wear the name Christian, and you can continually know that God is with you and will help you through everything as long as you're seeking Him. Are you a Christian this day? Perhaps you're a Christian who has fallen away. If we can help you in any way, let us know. We can pray for you. We can talk with you. We can study with you, whatever the need may be. Let us know. My name is Scott Pauley. I'm the minister for the Washington Street Church of Christ at 601 Washington Street in St. Albans, West Virginia. You can stop by and visit with us. We meet together on Sundays at 9:30 for Bible class, and then at 10:25 for worship, and again at 6 p.m. for worship. And we also have a midweek Bible study on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. We'd be glad to have you. Please come visit us. If you would like to talk on the phone, you can give me a call at 304-727-0761, or you could email me at wvdj105@aol.com. If you'd be interested in attending the services of a Church of Christ, but you're not in the St. Albans area, get in touch with me, and I'll be glad to help you find someone who can help. Thanks again for being with us for Words of Truth.